Dear Heavenly Father, we pray as we open your word this morning that we will draw closer to you, to know you and to love you more, to appreciate the love of Jesus. Be here by your Spirit. It's our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. With an interesting scene that took place. It was Passover week. Just a few days before, we see Jesus, the anointing of Jesus by Mary at the Feast of Simon. There was a ride into Jerusalem. There was joy in the crowd, and the thought that Jesus was now going to make his claim to the throne of David. The Pharisees were not happy. But then again, when were they ever happy? But in this scene, we see Jesus in the temple. It was late at night. Then came an interesting request. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. A simple request. We want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. What had they heard? What had they seen? Who knows? But for these men, the request was very simple. We want to see Jesus. Did they see him? Yes, they did. But it's interesting to take note of the response of Jesus. John 12, verse 23. As we quickly read through this passage, we read these words. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. If where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this world. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. At first it may seem like a strange response to these men. How would you react to such a statement? Was Jesus slighting them, or was he saying something to them that he might not have otherwise said? Were they being given something special? After all, when you take into consideration the setting, there are a few things that seems a little bit strange. But when you go a little bit deeper, Jesus was giving them a special lesson to learn. Let's look at it. Verse 23. In this verse, Jesus says, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Here we got a statement that the Son of Man had come for the Son of Man to be glorified. But we could ask the question, but how? How? Did he not ride into the city on an ass? Is that what he's referring to? Or perhaps was he looking forward to a cross? Was he giving to the Greeks an insight to what to expect over the next few days? And if so, how would that fit into the image of what the Greeks were looking for? They said, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. And I guess we can all expect and have an image in our own minds of what we want to see. We all have got images. And they too would have come there perhaps with a preconceived idea of what they were hoping to see. We would see Jesus. But in verse 24, we read another rather strange statement, for he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it shall bring forth much fruit. You know, we see here a rather strange statement. How could something that is dead bring forth much fruit? Did not Jesus ride into the city on a colt? Wouldn't that not do the trick and bring forth much fruit in the kingdom? Since when is there glory in being dead? How can something that is good, that is dead, do something that is good? Jesus is telling about corn, but really, you're looking at death of a cross. Jesus in this moment looked by faith toward the fruit that would come as a result of that act. And the Greeks said, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. As we look to Jesus in this scene, what is the image that is developing in our minds? What is your image of him? In verse 25, he then adds, he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Here we have two opposites being given. And at face value, they do not make much sense when you first hear them. And yet they do make sense to the one who is listening to the voice of Jesus. And Jesus is the example here of what this is all about. Because for him to save you and me, he had to lose his own life. He had to lose his own life. There was no other choice for him to make. There was no other way he could get around. It was either all or nothing. And you know, the same rule applies today. If we are to have heaven, then we must be willing to let go and let God do the leading. There's no in-between. We cannot have our cake and eat it too. All too often people forget that fact. Have a both-way bet. But see, we don't make the rules. And even Jesus had to obey the rules because he knew that to save humanity, it meant a cross. He couldn't alter the rules to suit himself. the equation was set. And in verse 26 he adds, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. Now Jesus is bringing the point home. There is no halfway measure to follow Jesus. You must be willing to give him your all. Here we are asked to be faithful, and Jesus has given the promise that if you choose to be faithful to him, then he will be faithful to you. It is interesting that in all of the above, Jesus is laying out in a simple way what is required of those who choose to follow him. To the Greeks who came to see Jesus, they were given the way to heaven. And it seems interesting that even though we are almost in the shadow of the cross, that Jesus would not let go a chance go by to win a person to the truth. And every person that he met with these Greeks, it was an opportunity to win someone to heaven. In verse 27, now we see the emotion of Jesus where he says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into the world. But for this cause came I unto this hour. It seems as though that in this verse we're now seeing the depth of Jesus' emotions. After all, he's human. He's God with us, yes, but he's fully human. And the thought of a cross is not a very pleasant one. Save me from the hour. The nails are going to hurt. It's going to be painful, Lord. Save me from this hour. From the heart comes the cry, Father, glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Show to these people that you and I are real, that the whole business of salvation is not a sham. It's not a sham. And did the Father respond? You bet he did. You bet he did. In verse 28 and 29, we find that there came a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. And it's interesting the response of the people. To this people therefore I stood by and heard it, said that it thundered, others said an angel spake to him. Jesus gave a cry to his Father, and his Father came back with an answer. I am pleased with my Son. He is my Son. I've done it before. I will do it again. We are one. We are united. And we will not fail in our mission to save the world and those who believe on us. What a show of unity. What a show of strength for us all to lean on. And all that took place that day, Jesus is willing to do the same for us today. The whole of heaven loves you, loves me. You know, the people heard the noise and wondered what they had heard. Some thought it was thunder. Just thunder. Others thought it was an angel. It might have been an angel. You know, if you or I were there that day, what would we have heard? Would you have just thought it was thunder? Perhaps would you have thought maybe it's an angel? I guess it is all the question of what are you listening for when the voice of God speaks to you? Do you only just hear a noise, or do you hear the still small voice of a loving Father who wants the best for you? Or do you want to hear just what you want to hear? Or are you willing to let him speak his mind and be willing to listen to the voice of God? But then we come down a little bit further. And there is one statement that Jesus made. In verse 32, Jesus says, "Now I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." If I am lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And you know how true that statement has proved to be. Like a magnet, the magnet is drawing to itself, the cross is drawing to itself those who would be seeking after truth. The cross stands as a beacon that spells out the cost of sin. And it is at the cross that we are all faced with the big question in life of what do I do with Jesus? What do I do with him? The Greeks came to the city that night with a question, we would see Jesus. Did I see him? Yes, I did. But what happened after that? We don't know what happened to them after that. But I guess that as we consider this, how often we are all like those Greek people. We all come with a desire to see Jesus. And sometimes we come with the hope that he will make it a pleasant visit for us all. But what do we get? We have to face the full picture. That there is sacrifice. That there is pain. That there is hurt. Yes. There is silence for the final outcome of the Greeks that came that night. And so it should be. For the outcome is a private matter, and so it is also with you and me. What the outcome is for you when you meet Jesus is something that is strictly between you and God. No one else. And what is more, no one else can make that decision for you either. The request that night was, we would see Jesus. Have you seen Jesus? Have you met with him? Have you stood at the foot of the cross and looked and appreciated what he has done for you? And having done that, the question for you and for me is, but what do you do now? Are you going to follow him? Or are you going to walk away? Do you give your all to him, or do you harden your heart? No one can decide for you on this matter on this matter, you are on your own. Today, as we look at the cross, as you look at the cross and consider all that Jesus has done for you, then may the cross be a magnet and draw you to the one who wants to save you, to the one who has a place ready for you, if you will but give your all to him. As you come to the foot of that cross today, may we see Jesus. May we see and appreciate his love and respond with love back to him. For he gave everything. Dare we do anything less than that for him? May we today see Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, may we see Jesus. May we appreciate all that he has done. May we today give our heart to him and allow him to lead us home. Home to that wonderful place that he has prepared for those who are faithful. May we each be faithful, dear Father. May we each choose to follow you. And as we go into the week that lies ahead, may Jesus go with us. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.